You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura in Cincinnati for the Browns and the Bengals. Matt Wilhelm with me as always. And we're going to get into a quick segment. We got Bob Holtzman from ESPN at the game at 2 o'clock. We're going to get to him at the top of the hour. But let's go on the offensive side of the ball, position by position. Quarterback Andy Dalton, 153 of 231 for 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's run for another 2 scores. He's averaging about 9 yards an attempt, playing the best football of his career against John Football, I think, decided advantage to the Cincinnati Bengals, Matt.
Absolutely, especially getting off the phone with Jeff and understanding that Andy Dalton's the distributor. He now has other weapons besides A.J. Green that are a real threat. I think the reemergence of Marvin Jones playing some very good football. Mohamed Sanu's kind of taking a back seat there in the offense, and as I mentioned, and my question to Jeff was about Tyler Eifert, and we've seen firsthand, as he mentioned, having Gary Barnage and what that threat at the tight end position, winning versus linebackers, winning in base defense situations, can play a huge role for a quarterback, and I think Andy Dalton easily gets the nod here versus John Football.
All right, the running back position, Giovanni Bernard's averaging 5.6 yards a carry. He's rushed for 439 yards and 2 touchdowns, added another 20 catches for a buck 41. Jeremy Hill struggling running the football a little bit this year, only 3.3 yards a carry, but has added 6 touchdowns on the season. We know the Browns have the Crow, they've got the Duke, and they've got Robert Turbin, but not a single 75-yard rushing game on the season. To me, again, a decided advantage to the Bengals. And I think this is the Bengals' model is what the Browns want. They want to have that runner who can grind it out, be very good between the tackles, but they don't have it right now. I think that they want, and Giovanni Bernard, Duke Johnson, they were compared to each other before the draft. I think that that's what they want. I just think that's not what they're getting yet.
I agree, and I just think what Cincinnati has created through the draft, getting Andy Dalton, paying him to be the starter and their franchise guy, A.J. Green drafted in the top 10 as well, the deep threat, something that I'm sure the Cleveland Browns have been envious of since playing him, you know, twice a year. But then the accent pieces, it's again, you get the Bernard, you get Jeremy Hill through the draft as well, and it's like that perfect storm. You can't really focus on one thing and stop it. You know, you're going to shut down the tight end, they've got the receivers in the back. You shut down the backs, they could put the ball in the air 40-plus times, Andy Dalton can, and distribute it equally throughout his guys. So I agree. They're doing it by committee like many other teams. They're just doing it better than the Cleveland Browns are right now.
Yes, indeed. Wide receiver A.J. Green, 46 catches, 649 yards, 4 touchdowns. Marvin Jones got 333 and 3. Brandon Tate's got a 1 catch for 55 yards, but it went for a touchdown. Mohamed Sanu, 18 catches for 270 yards himself. So they've got 3 guys at a threshold that the Browns don't really have anybody so far this season. As the Browns' number 2 receiver would be Andrew Hawkins at 207 yards, Gabriel 194, Hartline 182, and the 2 touchdowns. Again, decided advantage to the Cincinnati Bengals.
I agree. It's you could understand. You know, finally they're living up to the billing in this division. They're dominating in the division thus far. You know, ahead by a few games on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think going back to point after point, you know, Andy Dalton's just finally probably living up to the amount of money that Cincinnati Bengals have trusted him with and using the weapons. And as I think Jeff Hobson made a great point in talking about being in the second year with Hugh Jackson as the offensive coordinator, really feeling comfortable. And it's something that I'm envious of, you know, being here on Cleveland Browns Daily, that you hope that the Cleveland Browns can do with John DeFilippo, you know, more than just 1 year.
Yeah, you certainly do. It's nice to have that continuity. It's nice to see it kind of get into the groove and get moving there for the team. All right, let's go tight end. Gary Barnage, 40 catches, 567 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Now, Pro Football Focus, and we might talk about this tomorrow or next week, but wrote an article defending the Browns' offensive line, saying that the tight ends on the Browns, Barnage and Jim Dre in particular, have been the worst blocking tight ends in the National Football League, and Malcolm Johnson has been the worst blocking fullback in the NFL. So some of the blame that's falling on the O-line is maybe not as just. Now, Tyler Eifert, 381 yards, 6 touchdowns for this team. I think these guys are both very good players. I think that it is, I'll call this one a wash. I think in terms of just raw talent, you'd probably give an advantage to Tyler Eifert, first-round pick. But I'd say the way Gary's playing Big Play Gear, there's nobody better than Big Play Gear. So he's never losing as far as I'm concerned, so we'll call that a push.
I agree. And it's that's consistent with the way that Gary Barnage is playing. He's going to have a leg up on anybody we play. And in this case, like you said, Eifert's just a little bit younger, first-round draft pick, finally living up to that billing, and I'll call it a push as well.
And finally, it comes to the offensive line. Now, Pro Football Focus saying the Browns' offensive line is actually performing as the second best in the NFL. They noted, however, that offensive line play this year has been dreadful, and one of the guys who wrote the article actually tweeted me and saying, even if you're in a land of midgets, if you're the tallest midget, you're still the tallest. And so I guess that's really what he's saying about the Browns' offensive line this year. I think they've struggled. Talent-wise, it's there, but this Cincinnati offensive line is no joke either. They are a very talented group led by Andrew Whitworth, their left tackle, who is one of the very best in the game and is graded even by Pro Football Focus just behind Joe Thomas. They've got Clint Bowling. This is a good offensive line there for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I would call it, given on paper, advantage Browns. But what I would say is that in reality this year, I'm going to call it a push as well, because I think this Bengals line has done a very, very good job.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go push, but I'm going to go push for a different reason. I think I might give the leg up simply because they're 7-0. They're protecting Andy Dalton, only 9 sacks so far this season. They're running the football very well.
Yep.
As you said, Bernard averaging 5.6 yards a carry. So they're doing their job. But the reason why it's going to be a push and a push tonight is Andre Smith is going to be out for tonight's football game, I believe, with a concussion, and Eric Winston, his backup, is going to get the start. So that might be something that the Cleveland Browns, as a defense, focus on and take advantage of.
Absolutely. I certainly think that it is, and you are exactly right about that. Andre Smith is a big loss for this team. They're starting right tackle, bookend
number one pick,
and hopefully
yeah,
the Browns can take advantage of that. All right, when we come back, Bob Holtzman is live at Paul Brown Stadium. We will talk to him about the Browns and the Bengals right after this.